So one of the strangest interviews that I ever attended started this way. After exchanging pleasantries, Amy, who was the interviewer, asked me as the candidate if I had any questions. Now, her opening move was not what I expected, and honestly, it stumped me for a little while. I asked her to repeat the question. Yeah, that was not a good idea. And then I wondered if that were really her way of politely dismissing me before the interview even began. Now, in my experience, the person who is being interviewed is not generally the one who runs the interview. Normally, the candidate gets to ask all of her or his questions at the end, after all of the other important information has been exchanged. But that was not Amy's plan on that particular day, and once I figured that out, I was able to gain a little bit of my composure back and start asking my questions. So Jesus likes to start by asking questions too. In fact, in John's gospel, the first time that he enters any dialogue with other human beings, it is when he poses a question. "What are you looking for?" he says to the two who are following him. "What are you looking for?" he says to each one of us. Now, this is no ordinary question that Jesus poses. It is a question that is born out of God's deep love for the human family. It is a question that reveals what's at the heart of God. In every chapter of John's gospel, Jesus practices God's mercy and compassion. With the man who was tethered to the mat for 38 years, with the man who is born blind, and with Mary when she is at the empty tomb, Jesus shows up and he stays with each one of them in their suffering. And even at his trial and crucifixion, God's mercy flows through Jesus. His willingness to show up and be present as everything is transpiring with his trial and his crucifixion is itself an act of compassion. He is showing compassion in his own suffering. Nothing, not even hell, can escape the caring presence of God. But that's not all that Jesus' question reveals to us. When Jesus encounters these two in the gospel, he wants to know what their deepest desires are. He wants to know what they long for and what stirs deep within their hearts. And their answer is simple. Show us where you are staying. Show us where you abide, so that we might see and know that God is among us. Jesus offers an invitation in response. And when these two respond to that invitation, their lives are turned upside down. They are transformed, moving from mere followers to full-fledged disciples. Now, our discipleship begins with a similar question. The baptismal rite and the related liturgies of confirmation and ordination all include an examination, a test, sort of, right at the beginning of the liturgy. Now, these examinations that happen in these rites, they are not posed there to try to trip up the candidates. Nor are these questions a series of checkboxes that we have to go through before we get to the good parts of the liturgy. Instead, the examination is an expression of the deep longing of every human being. The questions themselves give voice to God's desire welling up within each one of us. They are another way that Jesus shows up in those rites and says, "What are you looking for?" Now, last week at the 9 a.m. service, there were three children who were baptized. And often parents and sponsors will elect to answer those questions, that are posed in the examination on behalf of their children. But last Sunday, something different happened, because all three of those children decided that they wanted to speak for themselves. When May and Lewis and Calvin stood up here on this platform together, I was mesmerized. Now, under normal circumstances, it is not easy to get up here and talk in front of 300 people. How much more so for a 6, a 7, and a 10-year-old? What courage it took them to stand up here and to publicly profess their commitment to be members of the body of Christ. What courage it must take for all of us to do that same thing. Now, as I reflected later, the dean reminded me of something, and it was something that I needed to be reminded of. Those children did not make those promises on their own. God was right there with them and with all of us, making sure that something new was happening and transpiring within those kids. That's why when children who are old enough to speak for themselves are that age, we invite them to speak for themselves at their baptisms. And it is why when anyone is old enough to eat, we invite them to the Eucharist to partake in the bread that is shared around this table. We are not the gatekeepers of the sacraments. Instead, we trust that God is present through those sacraments, working in all of us. And while these children may have spoken for themselves, they did not engage in that act on their own. None of us does. God invites all of us to participate in the renewing of this world, but it is God who initiates that invitation, not us. God is at the center, not us. And that's what I think these two in the gospel longed to see. They wanted to see and to know that the living God was working and stirring up all kinds of goodness among them. When they saw the face of Jesus, they did not just see another human being. They saw the face of God in human form, living among them, calling all of us, all of them, to join in this renewing reconciliation of the world. And when they did, their discipleship took a new visceral meaning. It was no longer an intellectual exercise, but one that stemmed from the heart, and one that found its meaning in encounter. Once they came and saw, there was no stopping these two. And that's when their conversion started. That's when they became Christian disciples. That pattern was not only isolated to these two in John's gospel. It happens over and over, with Philip and with Nathanael, with the Samaritan woman at the well, with Lazarus and Martha and Mary in Bethany, and yes, with Mary at the empty tomb. They encounter Jesus, and they are changed. And that change then compels them to respond in some new way, to share what's possible for God's world, and then to work to make that a reality. And that pattern continues today among us. As some of you know, a group from St. Mark's traveled to the Texas-Mexico border last week. We will hear more from them on February 9th about their experiences there. But in the meantime, Ken and Nancy wanted us to have a preview of what happened there. And so this is what she shared with me. 5 people from this community went to the border. 5 people had their hearts broken open by the 2,000 plus people who they saw. All of those people have been waiting for months, living in tent cities in Matamoros, Mexico, waiting for their basic human rights and their rights under international law to be honored. We are changed, and we are fired up. That's what happens when you encounter Jesus. That's the start of a life-forming transformation. It is just one example. There are so many more that happen in this cathedral community through our corporate life together. God also encounters each one of us in simple ways, too. It may be through an anthem that you hear that stirs something deep within your being, and the one response that you know how to do is to let tears well up in your eyes. It may be a gaze that you catch from another person that says that you are beloved, and so is the other person as well. Or it may be the time that you watch brave people stand on the foot of the chancel steps at the platform and say yes to God. And then you yourself are reminded how you can say yes as well. Every encounter holds the possibility for transformation. Every encounter is an invitation to live more fully as a disciple in the body of Christ. And there is one more thing to say, especially on this weekend when we honor Dr. Martin Luther King. We do not engage in this work for ourselves, but for the Holy One who is in our midst. Until the justice that God longs for every human being is a reality, we cannot give up our search. We cannot stop answering this question that Jesus poses for each one of us. We cannot rest on what has already happened, and we cannot rely on the passage of time or on the work of others to make the reality of God here and now possible. God will not settle for that, and neither will we. Until then, Jesus will keep showing up, and he will keep asking each one of us, "What are you looking for?" May we have the courage to continue to respond and the heart to continue to act. Amen.